And I think people forget that. I think they forget that there is a person behind the music and that they need to share that with their audience.
Now more than ever, because if people hear your song and they like your song, they're going to go down a rabbit hole. And if they can go down that hole and come across you being genuine, being authentic, actually showing vulnerability, they're going to fall in love with you. They like the music and they like you. That is the definition of a super fan.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Andy Gessner.
When you promote a video now, like different formats, I mean, obviously it's all streaming now, right? So is it easier for people to make a music video these days? Are they the same quality? Is there enough creativity in those videos these days that people are still paying attention?
I would say that it's never been a better time to create visual content to surround your musical pursuits. In the early double zeros, if you wanted to be taken seriously, you had to shoot your music video on film. Cha-ching, 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 yes.
Oh yeah, that's pricey.
And so for the first 4 or 5 years, music videos really were reserved to those who were either well-moneyed or had backing. So, as things progressed, and it was 20 years ago that all of a sudden there was this platform called YouTube, and of course we jumped right on it. We thought it was the coolest thing ever, and we put all our videos up on our YouTube channel. I mean, the spoon video for the underdog is still on our YouTube channel with 2 million views, and the pinback video is up there with 1.7, and ministry with the lies, 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 lies. And I guess the labels never took it down. I guess they just figured, hey, you know, it's no reason to take it down. People are discovering the video. And as we moved forward, people started to realize, okay, with the technology, we could shoot digitally and come real close to that warm, vibrant, high quality, like a warm blanket feel of film. And we're there, Jody. Now you don't have to shoot anything on film. Dare I say, all those great cameras that did shoot on film, who knows where they might be? They might be in the same scrap heap with all of our old DVD players and our VCRs. Yeah. But when it comes to visual, think of all of some of the best videos we've loved over the years. A lot of them are not big budget affairs.
Oh, no. Have you ever seen OK Go?
Sure, that's a perfect example.
I love them. They're so awesome. They're super talented, first of all, but their videos are just outstanding. I love them. Yeah, and it's super lo-fi. Like, yeah, they're just guys standing in front of a camera, or you're watching some ball go through some obstacle course that they designed. Like, it's just, it's amazing. So yeah, I think there's something to be said for just being authentically you on camera, which is now digital, of course. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a lot less expensive for people to get into this. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much interesting stuff out there. But I'm curious about something else too, because AI, of course, is getting in on this whole thing. So where do you think that is showing up here? Are people using it too much? Are they using it too little? Is there stuff they could be using it for that they're not, or that they are using it for that they shouldn't? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think everything is in the first word of that acronym. I have always told clients, yes, no issues within AI video, but sport. Don't follow up your AI video with another AI video. A lot of people don't want to have to get camera ready. You smell what I'm cooking, Jody? Yeah. It's like, well, I don't really want to be in the video. The best way to get to the next level and get to those 1,000 super fans that can really just keep you afloat in this difficult, challenging industry, you have to make a human connection.
Yes. Yep. Definitely human connection is important. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people forget about that aspect of this, that, mm-hmm. yeah, they can not be on camera and just have the AI make them a video. And it might be a very creative video. I've seen some very interesting things. But at the same time, it doesn't give you a connection with the people that are experiencing your music. And they want to know you. They don't want to know your AI equivalent.
No.
Yeah. And I think people forget that. I think they forget that there is a person behind the music and that they need to share that with their audience.
Now more than ever, because if people hear your song and they like your song, they're going to go down a rabbit hole. And if they can go down that hole and come across you being genuine, being authentic, actually showing vulnerability, they're going to fall in love with you. They like the music and they like you. That is the definition of a super fan. And why are super fans important? Because you don't have to have a budget for marketing for super fans. They do all the work for you. They're like scrubbing bubbles. They do all the work so you don't have to. They're going to tell everyone they know. And super fans are usually the person in their clique who is the most music savvy. So if you've got people coming to check out your platforms, you've got to be at the door of this party. You got to be greeting them, taking their coat, showing them where the food is. You really have to make these people feel appreciated, because if you don't make them feel appreciated that you as the artist really care about them, you're going to be, as the kids like to say, SOL.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And I have noticed that the Gen Z and that age group and younger, their BSO meters are way, way up here. So yeah, mm-hmm. you cannot put one over on them. They'll see through it in a second.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
I wanted to also touch on consistency, because I know that a lot of artists, unfortunately, have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. How do you think that comes into all of this promotion and getting your super fans? And what is consistency? How does it help?
Well, CSP is probably our most spoken acronym here at HIP Video Promo. Consistent, sustained promotion. Now, I take that to a little bit higher level here at HIP. We do the constant, sustained promotion.
Okay, one level up.
One notch up, exactly. Yeah. And
take it to 11. You know,
people ask, it's been 24 and a half years. You have promoted 4,800 music videos. You have sent us a new music video every week since the year 2000.
Wow, that's impressive.
Is there anything else you do? And I say, yeah, go to the social media. I'm a big gardener. I live in New Jersey. It's the Garden State. I enjoy making music with my bandmates when I'm not helping others. Or I do like listening to Casey Kasem Presents the 70s on the weekends. They do the old reruns of the old American Top 40 shows from the 70s. Oh, it's so much fun. But you want to be consistent. So a lot of the clients, when we do our social media optimization call before we do an exclusive online world premiere for the video, you know, we got to dole out and write prescriptions to these clients for the medicine that tastes the absolute worst. I mean, if it's dressed in overalls and looks like work, but we kind of get them in the mindset that this is something you really need to try. And, you know, you've got to dip your toe in the water. And I assure you, if you dip your toe in the water, it's not going to be that cold. And before you know it, you're going to be diving in head first. And you're going to see the amount of people within your community increase. And it's going to be great for everybody. But, yeah, they don't appreciate sometimes that they are public figures and that they need to be doing the things they're less talented, much more lazy competition. Yeah, they're not going to do.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to that promotion. So, yeah. Do you see any particular emerging trends as far as promotion for artists is concerned? Like, how are they promoting themselves? Like with the videos, is there anything that they're doing that's different than, you know, let's say sending a video to a promoter or sending a video to people who will look at it and, you know, labels and whatever? Mm-hmm. What else are they doing?
So October, November, people are reaching out. Andy, I'm going to have 6 releases next year. So let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. I say, all right, we're going to put you on a 60-day grind. It's almost like going to the fitness center. It's like, all right, so every 60 days, we're going to release a new song with a video. I'm correct. Yes. And can we do the lyric video a little bit ahead of time? I say, yes, correct. So it's literally like the back of the shampoo bottle. Shampoo. Rinse, repeat. So we're coming in, you know, we have a lot of clients like that, but we do have the clients that say, hey, Andy, I think I can only do 4 releases in 2025. Sometimes budgetary, other times they've got to write new songs, but that puts them on the 90-day grind. But the idea being, or if it's 5, you do a 75-day grind. It just means that there won't be a moment where people aren't continually feeling a vibration from you. And there's so many ways to keep that vibration going. And people come to check you out because, Jody, because you've proven that you bring such great conversations to your channel. You've been as consistent as any of these musicians, and true or false, that has helped you tremendously.
Oh, yeah. It's more about tenacity than it is talent, really. I'm sure that's partially responsible for a lot of people's success. It's not necessarily, you know, I'm sure talent has something to do with it, but that's not everything.
No, and as long as you can just remember that people will, if they see you've gone AWOL, they will start to think, that artist I really liked, he always seemed so serious and passionate about his music, but I haven't seen him for a while. Maybe he folded up like a cheap lawn chair. Well, I have a new artist now that I like even better, so let me forget about him.
Yeah.
And these artists, they have to appreciate that if they're not emoting, that they are 100% in it to win it, and that they are going to be there for their fans. You know, for fans, their favorite artists, they give voice to the voiceless. They need them to continue to create, because the normies, not in a derogatory way am I saying the normies, they need us. Because they're too busy taking care of the kids or working the job 60 hours a week, you know, to write songs for themselves. And, you know, that's why we listen to our favorite artists.
Because we bring the joy.
I know.
People need joy.
Right. And it's funny how during difficult, challenging times, people lean on their music even more.
Oh, yeah. Mental health-wise, I'm sure it helps a lot of people. Yeah, even cathartic stuff. I mean, like, we listen, this is something AI doesn't quite get. We listen to sad songs to feel better.
It's true.
So, yeah, there's always that kind of aspect of it. But yeah, what would you suggest to musicians and performers these days to stand out?
You know, everybody's concerned about the follower count. And they're upset that the YouTube view count is low. And they want to know how to get the streams up. And they're concerned about how many subscribers they have. And when it comes to the video, it's the makeup people and the choreographer and making sure they get someone to master it so that they can drop a good name or get a director who worked with Big Artist A, Big Artist B, Big Artist C. And I'm finding they are forgetting about the song.
Hi, this is Craig Acock. I listen to Jody Krangle's podcast all the time. Great guests, great information. I really enjoy listening to what they have to say and how the questions she's asking of them. The only issue is I wish they were longer. Thanks, Jody.
You gotta be focused on your song. If you're a gardener, those are your seeds. I mean, you want to grow these seeds and you want to nurture them. I find too many people are not putting in the necessary time and attention to detail into their songcraft because they're so distracted by all this other stuff.
I think that people are very focused on the visuals, which is why I have this podcast, because we need to talk about the sound. So when it comes to sound, what do you think makes that important? Why is sound important to you, or do you think to general? I'm just asking a philosophical question here.
Well, my team and I always chuckle if the bigger artists, smaller artists, if they knew how many of their videos on their YouTube channel are in mono, they're not even in stereo. What, did nobody check this? Or do they not know how to tell the, I mean, after a while, you kind of get to be able to tell the difference. But everything visual is being built off of what is the original source, which is the song. So making songs sound great may actually be easier and less expensive now than back in the day when you had to buy 5 or 6 Ampeg 2-inch reels for $165 a piece. I mean, you haven't even paid the studio guy and you're already in the hole.
I remember, yeah, reel-to-reel tape, yeah. Only what, 4 tracks? Yeah. It's crazy where we are now.
Right. And I think another big issue is that everybody and their nephew's friend and his, everybody can make music and put it out.
Yeah. So when it can be done by anybody, in fact, there's a AI out there that you can press a button for and just say, sing in the style of this artist, make a song about this topic, press a button, and there it goes. And I've heard a couple of these. And I gotta say, the singing, like the actual music part of it, is not horrible. the writing is not great. It's mm-hmm. it's about as middle of the road, you know, as you could possibly get. But mm-hmm. but you know, there's that coming up too. So you gotta differentiate yourself as someone with talent for creating art mm-hmm. to really, you know, be a musician that people are going to want to listen to. But yeah, I think sound in general is so important to all of us because it's healthy for our mental well-being. Mm-hmm. And music is so important for that. I don't know what your take is on that.
As the music guy for 61 years, people have always been curious if, you know, because back in the day, we didn't wear earplugs. We didn't wear earplugs. In fact, in the crowd I ran in, if you did wear earplugs on stage, you were thought poorly of. You weren't a true, genuine rock and roller. Now, I regret that decision. All the prog rock bands we played with, they always had the earplugs, and we're like, man. Anyway, experience is a hard teacher. She gives the test first and the lessons afterwards. And now I had some problems with my right ear, so I went to the audiologist. Man, they're quick to want to sell you a hearing aid, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. But we lose our higher frequencies, don't we? Isn't that what happens as we get older? Yeah. Yeah. But there's all sorts of interesting hearing aids out there right now. I know my dad has one of these. It actually Bluetooths into the television that's across the room. That's pretty cool.
So it's not an actual hearing aid.
Well, it is a hearing aid. As well as, right? It's a hearing aid that helps him hear in general, but you can also Bluetooth it into things that you would be listening from. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have to be close to it, I guess, which mm-hmm. is really, really interesting. There's all sorts of very interesting developments that are coming out right now. Mm-hmm. I would love to have an audiologist, another one, actually, because I've had one previously on mm-hmm. this show. But it's, there's so much damage that we do to ourselves without knowing. mm-hmm. Yeah. So I understand about that. Yeah. So I would love to continue talking for another hour. I'm sure we could talk a lot about all of this, but we are coming up on the end here. So how can people get in touch with you? And actually, before that, what are you working on now that you want to tell people about?
So many exciting new bands, whether it's Jacqueline Carr, she's fabulous in the gospel world. And we're working an unusual project. Her name is Gwen, and she's dead. In fact, Gwen isn't even real. She is the star of a new streaming television program where she's a pop star and she gets her big break. But on the eve of her big breakthrough moment in the music industry, she gets murdered. So you watch the show, and if you're able to figure out who the murderer of Gwen is, you win $100,000.
Wow. I think a lot of people should check that out.
Yeah. It's called Dream Crusher. Uh-huh. And big hat tip to Gavin Michael Booth. What a innovative, creative guy. Unbelievable. And what's crazy is that there's like actually clues in the music video.
Ooh. Okay.
And there's clues on the social media. It's like, it's going to be the new TV, Jody. It's going to be interactive TV.
I love it. That sounds really interesting and fun. I mean, you know, murder isn't usually fun, but
no.
But we do love our police procedurals and, you know, investigative reports and all of the, you know, we have a love for that. So, yeah, people are all into the true crime podcasts. So, yeah, I imagine those people would do really well.
Absolutely.
Do you want to sound your absolute best when you're being interviewed on a podcast or when you're hosting your own show? I have a podcast episode and free downloadable worksheet called Sounding Your Best as a Podcast Guest off of the audiobrandingpodcast.com main page. Just click on the little square graphic to the left of the player displaying my podcast trailer. It gives you some comprehensive suggestions for where to start or for improving the sound you already have, including the type of microphones to consider and why, ideas for soundproofing your recording environment, and suggestions on how to get the best sound when you're being remotely recorded on services like Riverside FM or Squadcast. Don't let bad audio quality hold you back from being the best podcast guest or host you can be. And of course, if you happen to need voiceover for your intro and outro, feel free to get in touch. I'm happy to help. And now, back to the podcast.
Well, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to do that?
Well, I am still a phone call guy.
Okay.
People are stunned when they see our promo videos where I'm the guy. I'm the person in charge. I'm the one-man sales crew. Nobody wants to talk to the associate or the VP or the intern or the receptionist or the director of marketing. They want to talk to the person in charge. I'm the same way. If I'm going to purchase something, I want to know who to complain to if things go wonky. So call me, 732-613-1779. And the name of the company is the website HIP video promo.com. There you can go to your very favorite platform, whether it is Instagram or Facebook, X, TikTok, and our YouTube channel has all kinds of fun things on it. I do encourage you to check out our YouTube page at Hip Video. And if you are an artist or creative, I get it. Most of these marketing companies, not only do you not speak to the person in charge, you don't speak to anyone. So I will assure you, if you call that number, you would actually get to talk to the guy you've been watching on this great transmission. And the truth has a certain ring to it. You heard the story. We've been doing this for 24 and a half. We turned 25 on October 26th.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
You're a Libra baby.
Yes. And it's very much our intentions, because I'd be 89 when we hit 50. But if you love your job, you never work a day in your life. I don't play golf. I have no interest in joining a bowling league. I really like helping other people. as you have been doing for all these years. You don't have to do all the stuff you do. You just get off. You get off on helping people, don't you?
I enjoy it. Yes. Like you. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Andy. This has been a great discussion. And I love what you're doing for artists and the encouragement that you give them. So thank you for doing that. And I hope that the musicians who are listening to this right now will reach out, even just to say hi, because I think they'll get a lot from just having a conversation with you.
I would be grateful. Anybody, I'm here and Monday through Friday, 8:30 until 6 o'clock at night, you can, at Eastern, you can reach out.
Well, there you go, people. Yeah. Okay. So wonderful. Thank you so much, Andy. I wish you every success in your promotions. It sounds like you have no intention of stopping.
No.
So please don't. Okay. And maybe we'll talk again at some point. I want to hear what's going on in the future.
Okay. Well, you're welcome, Jody. As I said, I'm grateful you've had me as your guest, and just keep fighting the good fight and stay strong.
Will do. Take care.
Bye.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.